Faith and Family is a production of KFUO Radio, Christ for you anytime, anywhere since 1924. Text the letters KFUO to 41444 to join the legacy with your tax-deductible gift. Listening to Faith and Family, I'm Andy Bates. Today we're talking about the upcoming Speak Up Conference taking place in Fort Wayne, Indiana, November 8th. Our next guest, Deaconess Kimberly Trombley. She's with Bethesda Lutheran Community. She's the Vice President for Religious Life at Bethesda and a regular guest here on Faith and Family. Deaconess Kim, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you, Andy. It's good to be back.
Always a pleasure to have you with us today and learning more about the Speak Up Conference and addressing how we can learn more about mental health issues in the church. What does this mean for the church and mental health today? And you'll be presenting at the conference. I'd like to learn more about what you'll be presenting. For our listeners not familiar with your work and with Bethesda Lutheran Communities, share with us what Bethesda Lutheran Communities does and how you serve people.
Certainly. Bethesda is a wonderful organization that started over 100 years ago. We're an RSO of the LCMS. We minister with and to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We have homes and other services that we provide also. And our mission is to enhance the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities through services that share the good news of Jesus Christ.
And so your work in religious life, tell me about what that means in for the people that you serve.
Certainly. We work with the individuals we support in our homes and other services. And so my team works with the people we support and helps them to be fully included and integrated into their congregation locally. And we also minister with our staff. And we also connect with congregations and engage with them to volunteer with us, to partner with us, and to be an inclusive community.
So the upcoming Speak Up Conference, you're scheduled to present on including people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the life mm-hmm. of the church. What will we learn? What can we expect to gain? What do we need to know that you might be sharing with us, so that we might be learning at the conference? What are we perhaps in the dark about, Kim?
Certainly, I think there are voices missing in our congregations, and those voices are folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Not only are we as church able to overcome the stigma that the church needs to have a separate ministry or a separate program for a person with disabilities, but to really include that person into the life of the church. And not only does that person benefit from being included in the life of the church, but the church benefits tremendously. Because people with disabilities have gifts and talents that our Lord has given them and ways to share those gifts and talents in authentic relationships within the church. So it's a mutual blessing, and that's something that we're passionate about at Bethesda, is really helping folks to have those relationships and to see the need and the ministry that people with disabilities can also have within the church.
As we come together for the conference, what can we gain? What can we learn? How can coming together for a conference be beneficial? Why should we attend this conference? What are you looking forward to most that you think we can gain from this conference?
I'm looking forward to the content. There are many wonderful speakers and workshops that speak up, and being part of the advisory group that has been forming this conference together, it's exciting to see members of the church want to know more about how to minister with and to their brothers and sisters in Christ, and how we as church can be more welcoming so that people are included and feel comfortable, and so that they can receive our Lord's word and sacrament in the congregation. It's really exciting to see that. And so the conference is going to be a wonderful way to bring folks together who want to know more and who are able to then take that information and want to speak up about that within their own congregation, so that there are voices out there to encourage people to come to church, and also those within the church who are experiencing mental illness and experiencing disabilities, to feel welcome, and so that the church can grow and be healthy and to be in relationship with one another.
Why do you think we don't hear those voices, or why don't we see as many individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the church? Or why are we perhaps not mindful of how they could be an important part of the life of the congregation, or intentionally in including them, involving them in the life of the congregation?
Well, I think, you know, I get this question a lot of, what is the best way for us to show that we're welcoming? Do we need to have a ramp? Do we need to make sure? And of course, ramps are wonderful, but there's a need for a social ramp, a ramp to help people have a relationship within the church. And that could mean that there are barriers to that relationship, and that barrier could be attitudinal. It could be that in the congregation, there is it's not intentional, but it's also, well, we're not quite sure how to reach across the aisle and help this person when they might communicate differently than we do. Or they might need to walk around during church, and we're not sure how to approach that person in a way that doesn't cause offense. And so what I would encourage folks to do is to take that risk and say hello if there's a boundary there and uncertainty and not knowing quite what to say, but to say, hi, I'm not really sure what to say, but my name is Kim, and what's your name? And to start that relationship and to start that moment. I think as church, sometimes we can, we are really great at fellowship, and there are times when we can grow in reaching out to those who might not know all of the traditions of our fellowship. So helping folks to participate. When someone comes into church and they might need help knowing how to follow the service, to sit next to that person and help them through the hymnal, or help them if there's a PowerPoint to know, oh, this is where you will be able to see the words for the song, and helping them through the service.
How can we overcome stigma? Stigma is a word that's come up in these conversations repeatedly regarding disabilities and mental illness. How can we overcome this stigma?
I think we can overcome the stigma by asking questions and by seeking to understand before assuming. So our strength as church, especially when we meet someone who might be different than the folks that are in our family or who are in our church, when we meet someone who's new, to really reach out to them. In your mind, you might have a stereotype or a preconceived notion about that person. I would just encourage everyone to seek to understand first before saying, well, this person means this or this person does that. Before going to that place, seek to understand who that person is as a child of God, because that's how our Lord sees each of us. He sees each of us uniquely. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, to really seek to understand that person so that we can be in relationship with them and to be a brother and sister in Christ. It's really that seeking to understand is going to break the stigma.
Do you have some stories that might be an example for us of where you've seen this happen in a congregation, in a ministry setting, where the stigma has been overcome, where individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities have become a key part of congregational life?
Certainly. So one example would be a congregation in mind where at first there was a person who attended, and this person really liked to walk around the church. And that is how that person really processed their surroundings, is to walk around and to meet people. And the church was pretty quiet. It was a quiet setting. And so there was the stigma that, well, this person has autism. This person has a disability. And for the care provider, for that direct support professional to really say, well, yes, but this person really loves music, and this person really loves to feel that music when they hear it, and that's why they walk. In our consulting meetings, we talk with folks in congregations that once you meet one person with a disability, you've met one person with a disability. It's the same if you meet one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Each person is unique and is an individual in the sight of our Lord. So it's encouraging congregations to see that person for who they are. And then fast forward to the from the beginning of that relationship to where they are now, that person is fully included in the life of the church. That person moves at the back. They have a space where this person really likes to move, and when the music is playing, and this person has their place in the church, just like all the other members do. And the person fully participates in communion and serves and goes to Bible class and likes to move with the music that's happening there and at special events. So it's pretty cool to see how that congregation moved from not sure, perhaps experiencing, you know, stigma or preconceived notions, and then now fully accepting this person and how they're a part of the life of the church and a part of the fabric of the church, too.
The conference coming up November 8th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, you get to present, and we'll learn more about including people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. What are the key things you want us to walk away from your presentation? Or what do you want us to walk away with, I mean?
Well, you'll certainly walk away with a sample of our newest material with our wonderfully made pamphlet series. You'll walk away with an adapting communication for success tool, as well as adapting curriculum and welcoming a child with disabilities into your family. You'll walk away with those tools. During our time together, though, my hope is that we challenge some of those assumptions and some of those stigmas, and that we really talk about how do we become welcoming in every situation we encounter with a person with mental illness, who has intellectual and developmental disabilities, or any person that's new in your church. What's wonderful is when we're talking about ways to welcome a person with disabilities into the church, that transcends to people of all abilities. And with the welcoming nature that you learn when learning from a person with disabilities, they'll teach you also how to welcome folks who may be new to you as well.
Kim, how can we learn more about Bethesda Lutheran Communities and the resources available there, how Bethesda might be helpful in our congregation and in our community?
Certainly. You can go online to our website. You can see some of our love stories, which is bethesdaislove.org. And you can also purchase our resources at Concordia Publishing House at cph.org. And you can always reach out to me and ask for a consultation in your local congregation at kimberly.trombley@mailblc.org. And we'd be happy to help walk alongside each congregation.
My guest today, Deaconess Kimberly Trombley. She's the Vice President for Religious Life at Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Kim, thanks so much for being my guest, and God's blessings on your presentation at the upcoming Speak Up Conference.
Thanks so much, Andy, and blessings to you.
You've been listening to Faith and Family, produced by Worldwide KFUO, the official broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Your support is vital for this program to continue. To learn about giving opportunities, call Mary at 314-996-1518, or you can make a gift safe, secure, and easily online at kfuo.org. Thank you for listening and supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.